We often think of being honest or dishonest as a simple thing. You're either on the right track or you're not. And that, in a sense, it's true. But on the other hand, there are these layers of honesty and dishonesty that can be much more complicated, that people have created in different stages in their lives, that we often don't question enough to understand what is real for us, what is true, what used to be true, and what never was. Hi, hope you're well. This is PD at the Art of Self-Development. This episode is for everyone interested in ideas and practical tools to develop the most useful skills for yourself and for the people you care about. There is a specific reason why we lie. We lie to other people because we want to avoid a specific outcome. We want to avoid a way the other person would react if we told the truth all the time. That's why people lie in general. Sometimes we might feel that the lie is necessary, perhaps because the other person would be too strict or too judgmental. We learned that as children. Most of us, anyway. We learned that a well-placed lie can prevent punishment. And that is inevitable, I would think, and kind of necessary. Because not always telling the truth is part of psychological development. And you can see that if you're around small children. At some age, they will learn to distinguish between fiction and reality. They realize at a very young age that they can say that something is true that isn't, or vice versa. And that is a very important period in a child's development. So that actually is valuable. The ability to distinguish between truth and untruth, reality and fiction. The problem typically arrives for people who grow up in an environment where telling lies and telling lies frequently becomes a technique that is necessary for survival. Because if you didn't tell lies, you would in fact end up hurting yourself. So lying on one hand is kind of necessary, the ability to do that. On the other hand, too much lying or lying in the wrong ways, in the wrong situations, can be very detrimental. Lying to another person is one thing. That's the kind that you can do knowing you're telling a lie. There's something much more insidious that we all do day in and day out, and that is lying to ourselves. That one is much trickier to uncover, especially for us. Other people can see it more clearly. We all have our stories that we have created over the period of our lives that was important when we were younger, typically. And over time becomes less so. It, in fact, this old technique that used to help us survive, when it was objectively better to tell a lie, becomes more and more counterproductive. Because we all have created stories about ourselves, who we are and why we do things, that in almost every case were not true, or at least not in the beginning, or that they were kind of true in the past, but not as we grew up into adults. There are so many things that we habitually think still, after many years, that are simply counterproductive about why we can or cannot do things and who we are as people. So this kind of lies, the lies we tell ourselves, they are meant to prevent us from seeing the truth. For example, a person who's not good with people or not good with the opposite sex and dating, might actually become very learned in psychology. And this is how I started out, by the way. You might think that other people are not good enough to measure up to you and how smart or competent you are. You might create stories as to why things can't work out in your personal life that you actually want, but you don't believe you can do it. So you make up a story in your own head. and create artificial obstacles that don't even exist, but that will prevent you from that goal being achieved. And this network of lies, for the people who develop it, can be almost impenetrable, but other people can often see it quite clearly, and it can be a painful sight to see. I have a student who comes to me who's a very smart guy around 30, and he always wants to have these intellectual debates about psychology, something he's studied a lot. And he's only beginning to understand, or at least I hope he is, that he learned so much just so he could explain things away that he otherwise would have to face. And he always talk about how learned he is, or how better he is than other people at some things. And when I asked him about it, he would always say he's just being honest. And as I was working with this guy, and I'm not a therapist, I'm interested in the field, but this is not what I do. I'm an English teacher. That is all I do in my day job. But as I was trying to help this guy see a little bit into why he does things and why he explains things the way he does, he would always find another way to explain the situation, another interpretation. And if we couldn't do it, he would just move on to something else. And after a while, it became obvious to me, and I asked him about it, that this guy was essentially a loner who has never had to relate to other people in a way that would be honest or in any way humble or real, authentic. So he weaved these stories around himself and he would protect them at any cost. And it was so strange to see it because he would be completely oblivious to it. Because even in the process of creating these stories and defending them, and creating more stories to defend the previous ones, he would be completely oblivious to it. It really is bizarre when you see that. And we all do it in our own ways to some degree. It's just that if you meet somebody for whom this is basically all he does, it becomes striking. But we all do it in our own ways, usually smaller rather than bigger, hopefully. I did all of that, so it's painful to see it. But with more life experience, as you grow older, and you see more bullshit, and you get through that to get to something more meaningful, it really is weird and painful to see people creating this prison for themselves and hide in it. This is why, whenever I think too much of myself, which does happen, you know, many people think I don't have much of an ego. I do. But I know that my primary challenge in life is to work with that, to not take things personally, to accept whatever people say, not necessarily believe it if it doesn't make sense, but to always try to understand other people and where they're coming from, what their life situation is, and how I can perhaps add something to it or benefit them, at least in some small way, which to me makes all the difference. Just being here for other people, not just for myself. Whatever situation you are in, just to accept it for what it is and try to make it better for everybody involved. Because the map is not the territory. We all make judgments. We create ideas about who we are and what our situation is. And we are very quick to judge other people. But we're only working with mental models, not with the reality. This is why it's so important to just step back, not judge people and situations automatically. Just realize why I'm making this judgment in the moment, and then choose to not do it and instead do something new. Because all those automated reactions and thoughts and beliefs, they're past, they're not real. They generally come from times when we were much younger, when we knew much less than we do now. These thoughts, beliefs, and judgments, they're not real, and in a sense, they never were. They just mean that we found ourselves in the past in a situation that was kind of similar, and we reacted in a certain way, and that creates the precedence for always doing the same thing. Well, I don't know about you. Whenever I was dealing with the situation for the first time as a child, I did not do that well. Or certainly, I generally didn't do as well as I could have with more practice then, and certainly not the way I should act now. Every situation is different, and as we're growing up and maturing, growing in experience, every new decision that we make can be a better one, not just the same. So even if in the past we needed that ego defense because we did take things personally, as adults we don't need it anymore. We can use our mental potential in ways that are much more conducive to creating better relationships, of creating successes for ourselves, in whatever we choose to do as we grow and develop. And ultimately we can lead a much better, happier lives. So that the way to protect ourselves doesn't need to be to pretend that we are better than we actually are. It actually is in learning, in growing, in accepting that whatever we want to get better at, we will suck at first. And that is okay, because that is the only way to grow. If we don't accept that, we're building on shaky grounds, and we're building something that is not even real. And we can see that. People who built a lot of success, but they did not do it being honest to themselves and to their values, they create something that does not even seem real. They might get a lot of money and wealth and success, but they know that something is off. And they may not even put their finger on it, but they will feel it. It's the cognitive dissonance that comes when our thoughts and actions are not aligned with who we are and what we believe in. There's no amount of money that can cover it up. You will know. Even if nobody else does, which can kind of add to the feeling of loneliness that these people have, that can cause an outwardly very successful person to get addicted to drugs or commit suicide, which doesn't seem to make any sense to a casual observer. But if you know how the mind works, you know. So getting real is the first step to becoming more honest with ourselves and to leading a better life. And it doesn't matter where we are. If there's an area of our lives that we've been neglecting, it's always better to just accept it, be honest about it, and then learn as much as you can. That way you will learn better and faster than almost everybody that you know. That attitude will give that to you. There are some questions that we can ask to get on the path quickly or get back on track when we need to. There are three basic questions that you can ask. The first one would be, what do I want? What do I really want? Not what I thought I wanted. And I still kind of think this is what I want because I haven't questioned it enough. What do I really want? The next one would be, what will I not tolerate? This one can be a little bit challenging to some specific types of people. It can be challenging to me because I can be both a pushover and I'm very empathic. I don't want to ruffle any feathers unless I have to or I know the other person really needs it. And it doesn't need to be as strict as it might sound. For example, maybe you have somebody in your life who's a drunk or a drug addict or a jerk or a general moron. You can't change that person. I used to think that not tolerating behaviors always means trying to change that person, telling them why they're wrong and how they should do better. That's not what it means. In fact, it's much smaller than that. What it means is accepting responsibility for your part in the situation, so that drunk or that jerk, you simply exclude them from your life. If that is what you need to do to move on, they may not understand it at first, but if they're in any way reasonable, if they get on track in their own lives, they will understand. And the third question would be, what can I control? There are many things we can't change in life. When we were children, there was very little that we could actually do. to change our position in the social order and what we could do and get. And oftentimes, most of the tools that we had as children were kind of manipulative because we couldn't directly change things for ourselves. We did not have that power. This again shifts dramatically over the course of our lives, and we can do much more now as adults. And it's a very important skill to be aware of what we control, what we can change, and what is outside of our control. Being aware of that distinction is really important in life, no matter what you want to achieve. It prevents a lot of frustration at not getting what you want when you realize that you are trying to get it in a way that is no longer useful or that never was useful. Because maybe you were hoping to get something or even trying to manipulate someone into doing what you want, which is not a healthy strategy or even a viable strategy. But again, we learn that over the course of our lives. If we reflect and think about life, and many people actually never do, that is the sad part. So many of us will use the same strategies of manipulating, of guilting people to try to get something, rather than learning where their borders are, what they can do and what they can't, or what they shouldn't, what's not useful and it's bad for them. So learn about what you can do and what you cannot. Don't judge it, and don't judge yourself for the things you can't do. Just realize it. Just realize where you're at. That in itself is a huge benefit. And then you can think about what is the smallest step that you can take towards achieving that goal that you want. And that really can be small. We think that goals need to be big. I tell you they need to be small. It's a good idea to have that image, to have a vision of something you really want to achieve, maybe in years or decades. But if that is all you have, it'll seem so big, it'll be intimidating. Very few people would actually walk the path. But if we can dumb it down and make it into small chunks that are easily achievable, you'll do the most important thing, which is get on the path and make the first step. Because making a step is easy. And after the first step, you will naturally do the next one, and so on. This is how anybody achieves anything, without making it excruciatingly difficult. You don't need to do that. If you want to achieve something, think about what you want and how you want to achieve it. Make the first step and make sure that the next steps will naturally follow. Make it so easy that you almost can't do otherwise. That is the smart way to do it. Take responsibility for your path, even for past decisions that were not that good. They were a learning experience. Own it. Learn from it. Use it. Seek feedback from other people. There are some things that we can't see or can't easily see that other people can. So if people tend to give you feedback, as in you seem arrogant, as was the case with the student of mine, and this becomes a pattern, don't try to explain it away. Try to understand why people say that, or why people see you in a specific way. And don't think it's necessarily them, and you couldn't possibly be wrong. You are the common denominator in every situation that you find yourself in. The one thing that all those situations have in common. So if you consistently get a certain feedback, take it seriously. Accept it and learn from it. Learn from it as much as you can. Then you can make the changes that you need to make, not before. Oftentimes, and this also goes back into our childhoods, people believe that if they're always honest, that people will not appreciate it. This is where the lying comes from. Because people don't always appreciate the truth. And some people explicitly want to be lied to in many situations. But being honest, and especially honest with yourself, it really cannot but make your life better, even in relationships of all kinds. Being honest does not necessarily make you more friends. but it's the one way to get real ones. Everything that is finite is dead. If it doesn't evolve, it's not real. It's a concept. We abstract from things into ideas that to us doesn't change very much. But everything that is real, that is alive, it keeps changing and evolving. And you want to be that. You want to be what grows and evolves and becomes more real and more part of this world in all those positive ways. Than something you can only think in your head for yourself. Having those half-assed successes that may seem flashy and real on the surface, but will make you feel like a fraud. Even if you're the only one, maybe not even seeing that, but kind of feeling it. So many of us have this feeling that being more honest can be counterproductive. And it can be if you're in the wrong situation. As we grow up and mature, we can change our situations, we can create them. And the way you know you're on the right track is that you know you can be more honest. And from that mindset, things will only get better. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Art of Self-Development. Remember that learning is a change of behavior. You can adjust your thoughts and your environment to better suit your goals, and it works best if you do it for other people's benefit. You can support this podcast by writing me a comment or suggestion at pdartofsd@gmail.com or just by telling your friends. Whatever you do today, leave the world a little better than you found it.